I got 45 minutes, he said. I've got at least a 15-minute message here. I'm glad to be back here. Amen. Did I tell y'all about my boys going, Arkansas going moose hunting up in Canada? I didn't tell y'all about that. Arkansas is a unique place, ain't it, boys? Ain't no place like it. We like it. And two of them, Bubba and Billy Bob, went moose hunting up in Canada. They heard about it all their life, so they saved their money. Decided they'd go up there. And by the way, thank y'all for letting us come. Amen. We appreciate it, and we don't take it lightly. Amen. We're grateful to be here. Amen. And Brother Allen's a good friend of mine, and we count him as a dear friend. He's one of the few we got left in our little circle. And we got some guys, man, that I depend on, and I call and I ask things and seek counsel with from time to time, and we talk about things. And Brother Allen, Brother Mark, Brother Stalker are some of those. So that's why I'm in the mental shape I'm in tonight, amen? But at any rate, old Bubba and Billy Bob went moose hunting up Canada, saved their money and went, and they got up there, and they killed a moose, a big one. Got him on the ground, got him gutted, and they called for the guy to come fly him out of there. He come out, landed on the lake. He said, I'll take y'all out. They said, here, we got this moose. He said, well, I ain't taking no moose out because we don't have enough lift to get him out of here and take y'all out too and all your stuff. They said, no, we're taking him. He said, I ain't taking him. He's too big. He's too heavy. They said, well, the pilot last year had the same size plane you got, and he took him, and he flew us out. He said, well, I guess if he did it, we can do it. So they loaded him up, and they took off, never cleared the tops of the trees. They crashed in the mountain over there, almost killed every one of them. Billy Bob finally come to, and he looked at Bubba, and he said, Bubba, where are we? He said, that's pretty close where we crashed last year. Everybody? Amen. All right, y'all loosen up a little bit. Y'all a little tight. Oh, thank God somebody just got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are glad to be here. We appreciate that. Amen. If you got your Bible tonight, turn to Jeremiah. I'm sitting here trying to make up my mind as we speak. You'll turn to Jeremiah, we'll do something. Jeremiah chapter 18. Did he bring some water up here? I'm that dry preacher he's talking about. Jeremiah chapter 18, and I'm going to read a few verses right there. We're starting revival tonight, and this would be some things you might think about. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for your mercy. Amen. Pray, dear God, you help us tonight. Father, we thank you for Brother Allen, his family, and the church here, Father, and the good people he's got, the good people you sent his way. And Father, our Lord, our pastors know, dear God, we know what we would amount to if you didn't send us good people, Father, and we're grateful for them. Pray, dear God, tonight you might speak to their hearts, Father, some of the young people, the seniors, dear God, everybody in between. Amen. Help us, Lord God, we need you, Father, what we need. And dear God, you know what this message will amount to without you, Father, not much. We pray for your help and seek it in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18 says this, familiar passage, said the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I'll cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel he made was of clay. You don't have any problem tonight knowing what the vessel is. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. So you know what the vessel is tonight. You're the clay vessel. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Ain't you glad, brother and sister, he'll still make it again. Amen. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Did you notice how tender the Lord was with that vessel that got marred? And he made it over again, and how careful and how tender he was in remaking that and reshaping it and making it something that he could use. Did you notice how good he was with the vessel? I want you to turn over to chapter 19, verse 10, and look at this vessel. Chapter 19, let me back up just a little bit. Well, I'll get verse 10. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Even so will I break this people in this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Topheth till there be no place to bury. And it's a strange thing that the potter in one place took a vessel that was marred, and he took another vessel and broke it in a million pieces. Busted it in a million pieces. You say, what's the difference, Brother Jim? Well, I tell you, for sure, the first thing's the difference was one vessel was hard, or he couldn't have broke it. One vessel was still pliable and able to work with, and God was able to do something with it again. But one, it got hard, and it got hard in a shape where the potter had no use for it. And so he broke it, so it could never be used again. That's a scary thought from the Word of God, brother and sister, but it's true. So I'll preach for a few minutes tonight on before the vessel breaks. Amen? Before the vessel breaks. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. The song said over and over, he molds me and makes me. After his image, he fashions the clay. A vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Amen? Woo! Amen. He'll do that every now and then. It's an earthen vessel. That's me and you. We're the clay. And brother and sister, I want to talk about that potter's vessel for a few minutes tonight if I can. I won't be very long, and I don't preach long anyway. I don't have that much to say. But I'll get through here, and I hope it'll be something that'll help you. I want to say, brother and sister, number one, first, there's a lot of steps to making a vessel. I mean, you didn't just pop up and be what you are today overnight. God puts you through a process, and he'll shape you, and he'll smooth you out sometimes, and he'll make you the vessel he wants you to be. There's a lot of stuff. Some lumps of clay, when you get them and start to work with them, have you ever seen a potter throw one on there and start working with it? Yeah. Some vessels, boy, are rough. Some vessels are rougher than others. Brother Allen was a pretty rough vessel when the Lord got him. But man, look at him today. Look what God's done for him and how tender the Lord's been with him. But some of you out there, when God saves you, you never drank anything stronger than buttermilk. You were raised in a Christian home, and you just wasn't that rough to start with. Potter, some vessels are rough. Lumps are rough. There's a lot of shaping that goes on. You say, Brother Jim, what you reckon the Lord make me? I don't know. What do you reckon I'll be when God gets to? I have no idea. Who knows? You say, well, I know. No, you don't even know. You say, well, what will God make me? Nobody will know. Amen. Say, why? Because you don't stay on the wheel long enough for God to do anything with you. Amen. How in the world we know what God's going to do with you? You're in church a month. You're out a month. Amen. You're up. You're down. You're in. You're out. Who knows what God would do with you if you stay on the wheel? Amen. The potter can't do anything with that clay unless it's on the wheel. You don't stay on the wheel. How do we know what God will do with you? What will I be, Brother Jim? Only God knows. You got to stay on the wheel. There's firing. They make a vessel, not only is it shaped, but there's firing. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes it when God puts you through the oven. But it's necessary to have a vessel. And then there's glazing. Then they'll glaze that thing. They'll go around that thing and glaze it, and the potter will make it shine. You know, it's just either a dull gray or a dull red color until he glazes it. Then he glazes that thing, puts it on, boy, it'll shine. It'll look good. Amen. Notice the vessel, brother and sister, in this case was marred in the potter's hand. Say, how'd it get marred? Well, I guarantee you, the potter didn't mar it. He didn't mar it. He fixed it. The potter never mars the vessel. He didn't do it. We'll do it. You'll go out there, some of you will go out there and you'll mar your vessel. This world out there, Brother Stocker preaching about, they'll mar your vessel. Sin will mar your vessel, but he can fix it. Some vessels are just beautiful to look at. We had one in our church like that, Miss Minnie Swafford. She was just beautiful to look at. She's just a beautiful vessel, boy. She's beautiful to be around. Everybody in the building, she'd light up a room just being in it. Just a very sweet old lady that loved the Lord. Some vessels got some in my mouth. Spit it out, Brother Jim, I'm trying. Amen. Some vessels, brother and sister, you know the potter makes some vessels just for carrying load. Some vessels he makes, they're not to drink out of. And sometimes they'll make a vase or a vase. They'll make a vase and put it on a shelf and it's beautiful. And everybody come in the building, in the room and say, wow, that's pretty. Sometimes a potter make a vessel just beautiful to look at. And sometimes he'll make one to really shine. But sometimes they have to have water, they have to have grain, they have to have things. Sometimes they'll make a vessel just to carry stuff. And that's all it's ever going to be used for. Just to carry stuff. Can you handle that? You know, God might put some of you right here and do nothing but help him carry the load. You may never be a beautiful vessel. God might just want you to help carry the load. Are you satisfied with that? That's what the potter wants? Well, most ain't. Some vessels are never glazed. Those that carry the loads, they don't glaze them. They just carry the load. They never shine. You can't handle that, can you? Some of you right here ain't going to be able to handle that right now. I'll tell you that right now. You are not going to be happy here unless you can shine. I've had a dozen people leave our church, a dozen preachers leave our church, and they couldn't wait to get out and shine. They weren't satisfied to be a help. They weren't satisfied to help carry the load. They weren't satisfied where God put them. They wanted to shine, and they wanted to shine right now. You know where they're at today? There ain't but one of them I know of still in the ministry. They ain't shining. Some people can't wait to shine. You say, well, I want, well, God might not be ready for you to shine. He may let you go and shine later. Did you ever think about that? He might glaze you later if you'll stay on the wheel. Amen. And then there's some vessel, brother and sister, he takes no pleasure in. That vessel right there, he busted that vessel in a million pieces. Well, tonight he has a plan for me and you. Can you handle it? He has a vessel, he has a plan for me and you. You better find out what it is. You know, man, there's no rehearsal for this life. I'd like to say, boy, hey, let's have a do-over. There ain't no do-overs here. You go through one time, if God has a plan for your Christian life, you better find out what it is. That's why we have revival. So you can find out what it is. I will say a few things about that potter's vessel. And like I said, I won't take very long, and I'll have you out of here quick. I will say, number one, did you notice that he's the potter? Amen. Yeah. Wow. Woo! Ain't that something? What? Brother Jim, that's not very deep. No, it ain't. But he's the potter. Amen. You are not the potter. Amen. Well, I kind of want my Christian life. You are not the potter. Amen. He didn't make you the potter. Well, I don't like the shape I'm in. I don't like the direction. You are not the potter. Amen. He's the potter. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. You know what the potter chooses? He chooses the shapes and the looks of that vessel. He said, well, I don't like it. Well, I'm sorry. That's the way the potter's making you. You might shine. You might not shine. He'll put you there for the purpose he wants you there for. Some of you may be full of sweet perfume tonight that he just wants to use. And some of you may be full of poison. He determines the shape and the looks. He's the potter. Tell you something else. He determines the size. When he makes that vessel, he puts the clay on there. And he'll make that vessel as big as he wants it or as small as he wants it. I'm telling you, you can't handle it. I don't want to be small. I want to be big. Well, you're not the potter. You want to do big things. You want to do great things. Well, you're not doing so well at the small things. Maybe he never make you a big deal. You might just be a small vessel that God wants to use. Can you handle it? Most can't. We, our church one time, I had a deacon in church. He said, we can't afford to build another church. We can't go no further. We built 11 buildings now, Brother Ryman. We built 11 new buildings, not church buildings. Just 11 buildings with camp and everything. He said, we can't afford it. We're paying $150 a month now, and that's all we can do. But I about passed out. He would die and turn over in his grave. He seen what we pay now. He said, we can't do it. I said, are you the potter? He said, we can't get no big. They said, our church camp, they said, it's big enough. We can't build no more. We had to build more. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. They said, it's big enough. We need to stop. Well, are you the potter? Amen. How big is this church going to be? I don't know, but you're not the potter. Amen. God will make it what he wants it to be. He's the potter. Yeah. So Say, well, we've gone far enough down that road. Well, you're not the potter. Don't you take your life or your church out of the potter's hands. He's the potter, brother and sister. You don't ask a ball of clay or a piece of dirt what it wants to be. You may shine, you may carry a load, but you don't decide. I'll tell you something else too. Your family ain't the potter. The Lord's the potter. It may not be as bad up here up north, but down south, man, family is a high, mighty potentate. And everybody, I mean, it's whatever's good for the family. That's the direction they go. Your family, brother and sister, is not the potter. Amen. Little Bubby wants to play softball tournaments on Sunday. Listen, he's not the potter. Amen. You have your family in church. God's the one that'll determine where you're at. Amen. He ain't the potter. Circumstances are not your potter. Say, so, well, Brother Jim, under my circumstances, I can't do it. Well, then you're the potter. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. You are not the potter. Your circumstances are not the potter. The circumstances you're in cannot determine what you do for God. Amen. They're not the potter. He's the potter, I am the clay. I want to say secondly about that. The place, brother and sister, is the potter's house. Did you see that? He said, let's go down to the potter's house. Now listen, a potter may go outside and gather clay. A potter may dig it out of the ground. He may buy it from a supplier. But you know, brother and sister, where he'll form it at? He'll form it at the potter's house. That's where he'll form it at. You know where he'll shape it at? He'll shape it at the potter's house. You know where he'll repair it at? He'll repair it at the potter's house, brother and sister. The place. You know where he'll glaze it, make it shine? He'll make it shine at the potter's house. That's where the work will be done. You say, Brother Jim, what's he going to do with me? I don't know. You won't stay in the potter's house. If God's going to do anything with you, he's going to do it down here at the potter's house. You won't stay. He can't help you. Who knows what you'll be? You're in a week, out a week, up and down, in and out. You're not faithful. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Where God chooses to shape a vessel is at the potter's house. Amen. That's why he brought you here. Amen. People are crazy. Amen. Sometimes, you know, brother and sister, you see some vessels that are just beautiful vessels. Boy, they're just pretty to look at. There's some here. Amen. You see some vessels sometimes that'll really be used. God used those vessels, boy, and they feed thousands. Brother Mark, Brother Ryman, Brother Stocker, some of these preachers, their vessels like that. God's used them to feed thousands of people. Beautiful vessels. Say, Brother Jim, how did they get that way? Well, I can tell you how they got that way. They spent time at the potter's house. Amen. Brother Mike right here spent time at the potter's house. There's some old preachers and some old churches around the country who influenced them and put stuff in their head and put stuff in their heart. Brothers and sisters, they are what they are today because they spent time at the potter's house. That's where God worked on them. That's where God changed their heart. That's where he got the kinks out of them, down at the potter's house. And if you want to be anything for God, you're going to have to spend time at the potter's house. That's where he does it. You know, these are all beautiful vessels, and God's used them. Thank God for them. But you know why? You go downtown. I went downtown a while back by a dump down there, and there's vessels down there. There's old earthen potter vessels down there, and they're all over that dump. They're busted a million pieces. I mean, in a million pieces, just shattered all over the ground. You could never pick them up again. You know what the sad thing is, brother and sister? One day, those vessels were at the potter's house, too.
Yeah, that's right.
They were at the potter's house, and now they're in a million pieces. I can name you four or five families out of our church right now. I won't. Their life right now is in a million pieces. They used to be in Potter's house. There's some out of this church, I'll guarantee you right now, they're not here tonight. And their life is ruined. Their life's busted. It's in a million pieces. They used to be here. They used to sit where you're sitting. You think you're exempt from that? That'll happen to you too if you stay out of the Potter's house. All those vessels used to be at the potter's house. That's where he chooses to work on them. You go down there, and I can think of one family right now, man, and the girl turned out to be a whore. The boy's on dope, out of his mind, don't know where he's at. Mama's dead now, and daddy's dead. Every one of them I used to go to church with, they all used to be at the potter's house. They said amen. They went out on visitation. They led people to Christ. Then mama got in a twist and didn't want to stay and drug the family out. Their life went in a million pieces. Busted all the pieces, boys. They used to be at the Potter's house. Every one of you, while I'm talking right now, knows somebody in your head, their life's in a million pieces, who used to be at the Potter's house. He's the Potter. But where he chooses to work, I know God can work anywhere. I'm not stupid. I know God can work anywhere. But where he chooses to do his shaping and forming is in the Potter's house. Right here is where he's going to shape your life, brother and sister. All right, I'm almost done. You know about those that have busted a million pieces, the Potter would have taken care of them. He loves vessels. If you want to stay whole, I recommend you stay in the Potter's house. If you want to be repaired as it needs it, I'd recommend you stay in the Potter's house. You know, he can get a vessel back on a wheel, man, and he can reshape. As long as it's not hard, as long as it ain't got hard, he can reshape that thing and make something out of it. Stay in the Potter's house. He'll shape you tonight if you'll stay on the wheel, and he can repair a damaged vessel. He'll save your soul, put your life back together. He can put your marriage back together. He can put your home back together. He can smooth out the rough places. Woo! He is the Potter. He can fix your life, boy. He can work anywhere. But most of his work's accomplished down here at the Potter's house. You know, we got a up home. God can take a vessel, man, and clean that thing out and make it something. Some of you tonight, you may have seen some things in your heart that ain't right, that don't belong there. Some of you got kids out there right now that need to be here. You got family that needs to be here. You got friends that ought to be here. Well, listen, God can take and clean any one of them up and reshape and remake their life if they'll come back to the Potter's house. We, up home, all my aunts, on my daddy's side of the family, all my aunts dip snuff up home. And I mean, they just all dip snuff. Everywhere they go, they got a spit can. And they're all dead now, but they all dip snuff. And when they come visit us, they all snuff dippers. Up in the hills in Arkansas, that's how you know if you marry a level-headed girl. If the snuff comes out both sides equally. If it's out one side, she's not level-headed. Don't marry her. Ain't worth marrying. But they were all snuff dippers, and they left one day, went somewhere out in the yard to pick peas or something, and I said, I'm going to try me some of that snuff. I seen them put some in their mouth, and it looked pretty good to me. I said, they wouldn't be eating it if it wasn't good. And so I got me a big wad of that snuff, a big old pinch up my hands, and I packed my jaw full of that snuff, just like they did. And boy, I'm telling you, just a few minutes, I was green. I swallowed some of that. I was puking. I'd never been so sick in my life. I got snuff poisoning. I said, never, ever again will I stick my hand back in that jar. Never. Well, you know what, brother and sister? My mama used to take up snuff glasses, and she had a whole set of glasses we'd eat supper out of. They was all snuff glasses. And she'd clean them things up. That's what we did. We used stuff like that. My mama had a full set of salad bowls. They all said Cool Whip on the side. But I went in there one day, and mama had iced tea. I love sweet iced tea. She had iced tea and cornbread and fried potatoes on the table, and that iced tea was in that snuff glass, and I turned that thing up. That's the best thing I ever drank in my life out of a snuff glass. It was so, say, what happened? Somebody cleaned it out. Somebody refilled it. Somebody put something good in it for a change. And God, the Potter, will do that with anybody in the building tonight. He'll clean out that stuff that ought not be there, and he'll put something in there he can use. Amen. My mama used to eat pickles pig feet. I thought that's the awfulest thing in the world to watch her eat it. They come in gallon jugs, pickle pig's feet. She'd gnaw them pig feet. And I said, man, that's awful, but they say they taste pretty good. I never had it. I couldn't stand to look at them. But she'd wash that big old gallon jug out and fill that thing up with green Kool-Aid, which is the best substance on earth to drink. And man, I'm telling you, I would chug it out of that. Same jug. It had that filth in it. Same jug. I look around here tonight and some of you, man, you used to be lost, you used to be drunks, you used to be dope heads, you used to hang with the wrong people, and look around, this is the same crowd. God cleans you out. He cleans you out. And he'll do the same for your kids and your family. Woo, that is good. Amen. Brother Earl Hughes says, that is good preaching. Nobody cares more about a vessel than the potter. I will say this, there ain't no hope outside the potter. That verse 12 up there, that thing, it said, let me get back over there. Jeremiah 18, verse 12, it said, and they said, there's no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. They said, we know there's no hope, but we ain't coming to you, God. We will go our own way. There's no hope. There's no hope outside the potter. They know it. They still refuse to come to the Lord. The world's losing hope now. They used to hope in science. Now they see that's a big dumb lie. They used to hope in the government. My God, it's inept. They see that was shot in the dark. They used to hope in mankind. And after 8 years of Obama, he's got everybody in the country hating everybody. So they don't even hope in mankind anymore. Brothers and sisters, there's only one hope. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He can get you through heartache. We just buried three of our people back in the spring. One of them, a 35-year-old girl we loved with all of our heart, boy. Went by and we sang Christmas carols for her. She had cancer, breast cancer. Finally got her. After 8 years, she fought it. We went by and sang Christmas carols to her, and I seen her for the last time over at her house, and we sang to her. She went off into glory, and I'm telling you what, boy, it broke our heart. Those boys back on that row, it broke their heart. It broke our church's heart. Say, how'd you get through, Brother Jim? Watched her husband, her little boys and everything suffer. How'd you get through, Brother Jim? Our hope was in the potter.
Amen.
That's the only place there's any hope.
Yes,
you can turn your life around, have to be through the potter.
Amen.
He's coming to get us out. It's the potter.
Yeah.
The little girl said, Mommy, you really believe that Jesus is coming like the preacher said? She said, oh, yeah, he's coming any time now. She said, Mama, fix my hair. Woo! Somebody tonight better fix your hair. We're getting ready to leave. We was over in Tennessee not long ago for a funeral, and I probably would not say this, but it was Alice's funeral. You remember my brother's wife? And there was this biker over there looking at me and during the funeral. I mean, he's a big old guy, wasn't he? Big old neck and big head. I mean, had tattooed up here, Hell's Angel. Had all the colors, all the stripes, all the jacket, all that stuff. He kept looking at me through the thing, and he would not quit staring at me. I told Gail, I said, right there's a problem. And I said, it's probably on. He's going to say something this is over with. I said, you get ready. Get ready to get out of the building. I said, I'll take care of this, what I was thinking. But he kept staring at me, and I looked at him, and son, sure enough, as soon as the funeral was over, he busted out of that chair, and he come over to see me, walked right up in my face. He said, who are you? I said, man, I'm Jim Chandler. He said, I knew it. He said, I'm Cotton Brewer. But I could not believe it. Cotton Brewer was my very best friend when I used to run the joints and used to run the Owl Hoot Trail over in Tennessee at night. He was my very best friend. He was with me through thick and thin, and he hugged me like a girl. Hugged me like a little girl, hugged all my grandkids, hugged Gail and Krista and everybody. He said, man, it's good to see you again. And I looked at poor old Cotton, and nothing had changed much for him. His life, he was beat up, man. He was scarred up. He was marked up. He never got out. And I looked at him, and Gus was there. Gus was there, my son-in-law was there, and he punched my daughter. He said, that'd been your daddy. He said, that's your daddy you're looking at. Hadn't been for the grace of God. Say, what? Whoo! How did that happen? The potter. He'll clean you up. He'll clean you out. He'll give you a life worth living. Ain't no hope anywhere else. Sorry. It's the potter or nothing.
Amen.
I want to say this last and I'll quit. I'd say you better come soon. Say, why, Brother Jim? Before the vessel hardens. You say, what will I wind up being, Brother Jim? You'll wind up being just what you are when you get hard. Are you satisfied? Let me ask you, are you satisfied hardening right there where you're at as a Christian? Are you satisfied with where God's got you at? Are you satisfied with what you've accomplished so far? Are you ready to get hardened right there where you're at? I mean, going no further. Once you harden, God can't do much with you. He broke that vessel because it's hard. It hardened and it's the shape he couldn't use. And he broke it. He said, I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure. God didn't like what that vessel had become. Listen, God will give you plenty of chances. Plenty of chances. He'll let you get back on the wheel tonight. He'll let you get back on the wheel and say, God, I want to go further. I want you to shape me more. I want you to put me the way you want me to be. He'll give you all kinds of chances. But there's a day come, brother and sister, when God will say, that's enough. That's enough. They're not coming. You can't break a vessel till it becomes hard. You can reshape it till then. You can completely remake it till then, as long as it's pliable. And brother and sister, you can harden before you know it. You know the same sun that melts butter will harden clay? The same sun that can melt your old heart, brother and sister, the same sun can watch you get hard and say that's enough. He'll clean it out. He can refill it tonight with good things. Let's start off revival like that. You want to? Let's just start off, say, God, clean me out. And start shaping me what you want me to be. I'm willing. No, don't start telling him what to do. Don't start telling him how to do it. You're not the potter. Lord, I place myself in your hands. Take me, shape me, make me what you want me to be. He can make it shine again. And sometimes he'll say, that's enough. I'm going to break it. You know how a potter shapes something most of the time? Honestly, I've seen him do it. When he shapes a vessel, he'll put his hand way down inside. As it spins, he'll put his hand down inside and shape it from the inside. He'll shape it from the inside. That's where he wants to shape you tonight. A friend of mine, Brother Tim, he told me he's watching and I've used it ever since. I preached this message at his church, and he said he was watching the Antique Roadshow one night. And he said they had an earthen vessel there by a famous potter. I mean, he was world famous, boy. And he said, if that's his vessel that he made, he said, that thing, sir, would be worth $10,000. Man, it was just a clay vessel somebody made on a wheel. He said it'd be worth $10,000 if his signature's on it. And they looked, and his signature was on it. He said, that's a $10,000 vase. And then he looked. He said, uh-oh, sorry, sir. He said, look over here to the side. He said, there's a crack that's been repaired on the side. He said, the value of it now go down to maybe $1,000. There's a crack there that's been repaired. They flipped it over and looked at it. He said, uh-oh, but look. He looked, and the master potter is the one who repaired it and signed his name by it. He said, this thing now is worth $30,000. Woo! You know what you see right here? Woo! You see a signature right here restored by the master. He's worth 100 times more than he'd ever been before. Many of you out there, it would be a signature on you say restored by the master. Better than it's ever been. Worth more than it's ever been worth. He'll do that for you tonight if you'll give him a chance. Hey, let's start off revival tonight and say, God, take me. Put me back on the wheel. Shape me. Do something with me. God spoke into your heart. You come on.